Welcome to this service in which we want to glorify our God which is in heaven. What a joy it is to see those of you that are visiting with us today. We invite you to come back and be with us every opportunity that you have. Stuart's going to be preaching tonight. We urge you to come back. He told me too a little while ago that Caroline is better. Hopefully she'll be able to come tonight. And we found out that Daphne, though, had a bad night last night. When I was talking to her about 7 o'clock last evening, she had hoped that she might be able to come and be with us, be at home rather today. But that's not the case. She didn't have a good night. Continue your prayers for her along with all the others. Boy, I really enjoyed last week. I mean, it was a joy to see this young man that we learned who really loved the Lord. Mitchell Dalrymple, I've known him for almost, I guess, most of his life, 31 years old. Can you believe that he can preach so well and do so well in the kingdom of God? And we just thoroughly enjoyed it. I know you did. What a wonderful thing it was to hear from the words of a young man like that, the teaching of the precious Word of God. And today, we are grateful that we can go to God's Word, and we have people that are here that we love and we want to do everything we can who are not members of the Lord's church. And we're going to do everything we possibly can in this lesson this morning to get us all to realize how important it is for us to realize the promises of God. In Romans chapter 10, verses 8 through 10, but what saith it? That is the Word of God. The Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach. All right, now Paul is writing, he's writing to the Roman brethren. Paul says to these Roman brethren, look, this is what the Word of God says. That's what we always want to do. Do everything we possibly can to speak what God said. When Paul wrote to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2, he said, you preach the Word. Be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers, having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables, fictitious stories. Look what God says. The Word of God says, the Word is nigh even, the Word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the Word of faith which we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead. Stop and think about it. I want you to meditate upon it. Look what he's saying. Paul is saying, he said, if what, Paul? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth, acknowledge with your mouth, the Lord Jesus, and if you shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, here is the promise. Here is what God said he will do. For whom will he do it? Everyone who will confess with their mouths and then believe in thy heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Oh, I want everybody to be saved, don't you? Of course we do. Wasn't it just wonderful, some of these young people? I know when Miss Kelly came forward to be baptized, we were just so excited. And I asked her, I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And she said, yes, I do. Boy, guess what? Matt took her back here and baptized her into Jesus Christ. That was exciting. When the Bible says, thou shalt be saved if, the condition being if, thou shalt believe in thine heart and confess with thy mouth. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. These promises of God are just fantastic. Look what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. According as His divine power hath given to us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God has done something. What has God done? He's given us. What has He given us? All things that pertain to what? Really living life and godliness through the knowledge of Him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us. Us who? God's people. Those who belong to the Lord. Given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. They're great. They're precious. That by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. I'm telling you this morning, the starting point for being the recipient of the blessings of God, the starting point is being baptized into Jesus Christ. Becoming a child of God. In Romans chapter 6, we find out how important it is to be scripturally baptized. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? No, God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not? Now listen. He said, I want you to know something. What do you want them to know, Paul? Know ye not that as so many of us as were baptized, us who? Was he baptized? Yes. Who? Paul. Look what he's saying. For so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death. Isn't that wonderful? We can get into Christ. How? By being buried with him by baptism into death. That like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Look what else he says. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Oh, there's so much. Baptism, what does it mean? It means to be dipped in, immersed. That's the proper mode of baptism. It doesn't mean sprinkling, not pouring, but rather immersion. And just let's look what the Bible says with regards to the promises to those who are baptized. What did Jesus command? Well, he commanded us to go into all the world. In Matthew chapter 16, he told us to preach the Word of God. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, Jesus said, go ye into all the world. Wasn't that wonderful? Here in this young man this last week, and then anticipating my coming to work with us, these young people loving the Lord, doing all they can, doing all they possibly can to urge people to do what? To be baptized. In Mark 16, Jesus said, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Matthew chapter 28, we concluded our Bible class this morning with those verses where Jesus said, all power hath been given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations. Who does he want us to teach? Everybody. What are we to do? Go. What are we to go with? We're to go with the word of the Lord, teaching young, middle-aged, and old. The wonderful story of the cross. Jesus, the Son of God, telling them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Luke tells us in Luke 24, verses 45 and through verse 47. Here's what Jesus said. Then opened he their understanding that they might understand the Scriptures, and said unto them, thus it is written, thus it behooved Christ to suffer to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Go back and look at it. And that repentance and remission of sins are to be done what? Priests. In whose name? By the authority of Jesus Christ. I'm telling you this morning, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 3:23 says, and all sinners need to be baptized. Here was a man that had done so much evil to the disciples of Jesus Christ. His name was Saul. And he was told by the Lord when the Lord spoke to him. And he asked the Lord, what then shall I do? The answer is, he was told to go to Damascus and he'll be told you what to do. And when Ananias came to him, he said, and now Saul, why tarriest thou? Arise, be baptized, wash away your sins. Look at that carefully. Where was the emphasis placed? Arise, do it now. Don't wait, why? You're a sinner. You're still in your sins. What did he tell him to do? Arise, be baptized, and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. That's what he told him. What did he do? All you have to do is turn to Acts 9, verse 18. And the Bible says he immediately arose and he was baptized. When people say they don't have to be baptized, and we look at the Bible and we find here was a man that was baptized, and all the teaching is to go and to teach people whatsoever the Lord has commanded us. Surely, my friends, why then are people baptized? Number one, people are baptized because they won't obey the commandments of God. In Mark 16, 15 and 16, the emphasis is placed upon you will be saved if you comply with the teaching of God's will. Young man, young woman, when you reach the age of accountability and you understand what God teaches you to do, don't hesitate. Obey God. You want to be baptized to be cleansed from sin. In Acts 2, verse 38, repent and be baptized. Every one of you. You want to be in the church. Do you know how to get there? The Lord adds those that are being baptized to His kingdom. Acts 2 and verse 47. You want to be a new creature? Here's the answer. And the answer is in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature, but he's got to be in Christ to be that. But how does he get into Christ? He's baptized. All right, then if that's true, Galatians 3, verse 27 verifies what we just said. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. If you're in this audience this morning, you've never been baptized for the remission of your sins, won't you listen to the Master? That's how you find it. You do His will. And look then at the promise. The promise is heaven for you. Living with God forever. Being in the presence of the Lord to live in eternity forever. Whenever we do what? We simply do what the Lord tells us to do. Well, who should be baptized? Well, the obvious answer is those that are lost. You don't baptize people that are saved. You baptize people that are lost. Acts 2:22, verse 16. People that believe. Believe what? That Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. And those people that are willing. You don't push people into baptistry. Well, my friends, a person, in order to be acceptable to God, must recognize he's lost without Christ. Lost in his sins. Now he can do something when he willingly does it, because Jesus said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Ah, yes. He's telling you to be willing to do what he tells you to do. But somebody says, how old should you be when you're baptized? You got to understand that you are a sinner. You recognize you're lost. You need to be baptized. Why? Because the teaching of Jesus is, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. What really motivated me to preach this sermon this morning is that we had a little card. And on that card, somebody had written down, "Tell us about baptism. What does the Bible say?" And I'm persuaded somewhat that that card was written by a young person. But needless to say, they want to understand and hope we can make it so clear. So everybody who has reached the age of accountability, who now is lost because you know you've sinned, you know what sin is, and you want to be cleansed from sin, and Jesus is the Savior and He cleanses us when we comply with what He says. When should a person then be baptized? I was in a gospel meeting up in Harrodsburg, Kentucky. And boy, what a joy to be with those brethren. Went up there several times some years ago. And several people were being baptized that week. And I remember how that there was a young man in that congregation who had been taught, had not been baptized, he along with I don't know how many others. But these people did what? Whenever they understood the will of the Lord, they did it then. They didn't put it off. Have you been baptized? Young, middle-aged, or old? Friend, what does the Scriptures say? There's a promise. What is that promise? That God's going to be with you. He's going to save you if that's the condition. If we believe, we repent, confess, and be baptized. There in Acts chapter 16, the same hour of the night, these people were taken and they were washed in baptism. At midnight, Acts 16, verse 25. Well, is it really necessary? Is it so important? I challenge you to take your Bible. And it's one thing you're going to find. A number of passages that deal with just that subject of baptism. The Bible tells us the people on the day of Pentecost were guilty of crucifying the Son of God. They said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" They were told, "Repent and be baptized." Just keep that in mind. Acts chapter 8, verse 12, Philip went down and he was preaching to the people in Samaria. And when these men and women believed what he preached, they were baptized. In Acts 8, verse 13, there was a man named Simon the sorcerer. And the Bible had heard Philip preaching, and he also was baptized. In Acts 8, verse 38, there's Philip preaching and teaching the Ethiopian eunuch. When they came to a certain water, he said, "Here is water. What does hinder me to be baptized?" And you remember what happened. The Bible said that he was told, "If you believe with all your heart that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." And he took him and baptized him. In Acts chapter 9, verse 18, Saul that we mentioned a few moments ago immediately arose and was baptized. Cornelius and those of his household received the word of God in Acts chapter 10. The Bible says they were commanded to be baptized. Then we turn to Acts chapter 16, verse 15. Lydia and those of her household who received the word were baptized. Why? When we look to the word of the Lord, and the Bible tells us about the Philippian jailer in Acts 16, verse 33, even with his family as they were taught, they were baptized. In Acts 18, verse 8, there is Crispus, Gaius, and many of the Corinthians. The Bible says that many of the Corinthians believing and were baptized. The Bible gives us in Acts chapter 19, verse 5, of the disciples that had been baptized by John the Baptist. And when they heard the truth about the name of Jesus Christ, they now were baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible says that the household of Stephanus had been baptized into the Lord. Why is baptism so important? The answer is, that's what the Lord said. It's not what Guy says. It's not what any of us preachers say. It's what the Bible says. How can people who know the will of the Lord refuse to be baptized? May I inject here 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 7 through 10. I want you just to look at it carefully with me, will you? Look what Paul is writing to the Thessalonian brethren. And look what he says to these brethren. And to you who are troubled, rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels. Won't that be a grand thing? When Jesus Christ comes, and when he comes with all of his mighty angels, oh, be able to see that, to rejoice to go to be with him. But look what he says. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord, from the glory of the power, when he shall come to be glorified in his saints and to be admired in all them that believe, because our testimony among you was believed in that day. Why would anyone wait? Why would a young man or a young woman hesitate when they understand the will of the Lord? They know what God says. They know they're lost. Who wants to be lost? Surely none of us want to be lost, but the Bible tells us, he that believeth and is baptized, promise, shall be saved. No wonder Paul writes in Second Corinthians 6, verse 2, for he saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now. You know what that word now means? Right now we're all sitting here worshiping our God. Where would we be tonight? Where would we be when the death angel comes and we leave this world? I hope that you'll be safe. I trust and pray to God, both young, middle-aged, and old, will have listened not to me, but to Jesus Christ. Because Jesus wants you. He wants us to be with him. He died. He loves every single one of us. And the Bible tells us clearly, he is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Here is water. What doth hinder you from being baptized? We're singing this song to encourage you this morning. If you've never obeyed the gospel, believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess his name, and this morning, do like these others have done. Oh, it's so wonderful to have new Christians. We want you in the kingdom of God. We pray to God that you want to be there and that you want to be right with God. Yes, these are his teachings. This is what he says. And if you're subject in a way to him this morning, won't you be baptized? And this morning, if you're a child of God and you haven't lived right, get yourself right with God. Let us pray with you and for you. Let's get ready so we can go to heaven when we leave this old world. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. For whom, Lord? Everyone. Male and female? Yes. Young, middle-aged? No, yes. Everyone that believeth, who obeys and are faithful to the end. It's His invitation that we're extending. Won't you obey Him this morning while together we stand and while